If you are looking for episode 43 of the Mentoring Developers podcast, you've come to the right place.
Welcome to Mentoring Developers, the podcast for new and aspiring software developers, where we discuss your struggles, anxieties, and career choices. And now, here's your host, Arsalan Ahmed.
My guest today is Angie Carrillo. Angie calls herself a global citizen. She loves traveling and she's lived in many countries, including Mexico, the US, the UK, and Peru. She's currently in Peru doing something very interesting, and we're going to talk to her about this. She's passionate about educational technology, and she has a mission in life. She wants to tackle the diversity gap in entrepreneurship, science, technology, engineering, and math. So, in a nutshell, she is a business consultant, an entrepreneur, educational technology enthusiast, and an altruist. She's transitioning to software engineering, and she believes in using technology to improve people's lives. And without further ado, here's Angie Carrillo. Hi, everyone. Today, my guest is Angie Carrillo. Angie is a very interesting person because she didn't know any programming and she was interested in starting a company, she was interested in starting a company in technology and she didn't know any programming. So she went ahead and taught herself programming. And not only that, she's now doing something very interesting with her time. So without further ado, let me introduce you to Angie Carrillo. Hi, Angie.
Hi, everyone. So I'm also teaching girls to code in my free time. So that's a very interesting thing that you were saying before. So I'm glad to be here with you and to be able to share my experience with the rest of the people that are listening here. So where do you want to start?
Yeah, tell me a little bit about what you're doing right now, because you're doing something very interesting. I have never interviewed somebody from the place you're at right now. So tell me a little bit about that.
Okay, so right now I'm in Peru. And the reason that I'm here is because the UN organized a science camp here in Peru last week. And this science camp is called the WISAI camp, and it's organized by Girl Up, UNESCO, and like several organizations from the US government. And the aim of this camp is to promote more girls in science. And one of the science that they're promoting is, of course, computer science and programming. So that's why I was here. And this week, I had the pleasure to be one of the teachers and to teach 100 girls who code basic front-end and JavaScript programming. That's basically why I'm here this week. And I'm also the ambassador for the Technovation program, which is a competition that every year girls participate and build an app and build like a startup, and they can win $10,000 in funding for their startup. And these are girls from high school, so they're very young but very impressive. So make sure to apply if you know any girl from that age.
Yeah, it sounds like a very good opportunity for girls. I'm really fascinated by your story because not only that you had no background in programming or technology, but that didn't faze you. That wasn't very hard for you to just go ahead and tackle that. Were you not scared? Like, oh, this is sounds difficult. Did it never faze you?
Yes, of course. I mean, I have a business background, and for me, like, I didn't even know what HTML was. I didn't know what an API was. I had no idea. And it was very, I went to my first hackathon and I won the hackathon that over there. But during that time, it was very intimidating because I didn't know any of the technical terms. And that's where I discovered that for me to go farther with any business idea, any tech company, I needed to learn about I needed the technical skills as well as the business side that I already had.
Okay, so we started with this story of you wanting to start a technical company, a startup, and you needed a technical co-founder. You couldn't find one, so you said, I might as well learn myself. What was that company that you wanted to start?
Oh, so that company was, it was like an app that we were developing called Yum. Yum turned into something else that now it's called Lix. Now it's based with the same team that we started. It was like a parental company for teaching values and those things. And that was the company that won the hackathon. With that same team, we decided to go somewhere else completely different. And we founded a coding bootcamp in Mexico called Lix. That's L-I-K-S. That means creator in Mayan. And so we created that and we won the Google Lunar X Prize last year with one of the students that developed a robot and a basic application to control the robot. So that's how more or less what we've done.
Okay. How did you first come across programming? Programming is not natural. I know a lot of people who have never done programming or software development, and for them, it's such an alien thing. But you weren't scared by that. So I just want to know a little bit more about how you first learned about programming. How did you write your first line of code? Tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, well, I learned as a kid would do, like as a young kid would do. So my first encounter with programming, it's pretty funny because it was the hour of code. Yes, like a kid, like a four-year-old. So it's pretty scary to start over when you don't have a skill and you think you're way too old or way far. Yeah. But the thing is that I wouldn't say that you have to be scared because of that. So I started as a kid would start. I started with the hour of code, then I did Code Academy. Then I felt that I was not learning anything. Like, okay, yeah, I wrote my first line of code, but I'm not learning. Like, I cannot do the thing that I want to. This is not programming. So I joined Udacity, and by having a partner with more technical skills, like he helped me out as well. So that's basically how I started. But I've heard of people starting over all the time, learning to code, all these coding boot camps that they are available. And yeah, so I decided, why not? Like, if someone can do it, if you have logic and if you have great problem solving skills, then that's the only thing you need.
Okay. And that is exactly right. You need to have the right attitude. You need to be relentless. You need to have the desire to succeed. And if you plow through it, then there's no reason why you can't. Obviously, it's not for everybody, but certainly you were interested enough that you thought you could do it. And not only that, you learn how to code through these websites and other avenues that you pursued. Were you able to take the skills that you learned and actually write code for your startup company?
Yeah. So right now, I don't only have this coding bootcamp that I'm doing with my friend in Mexico, but I'm also developing an app using machine learning, which I also taught myself while I was learning to code. So we're using, it's like a new app that we're developing. And yeah, of course, I mean, you need to put on use what you learned, otherwise you'll never fully use it, right? I mean, it's cool to learn to code and do projects and do websites and stuff, but you should also put it in practice.
Right. So when you're talking about making apps, are you talking about making web applications or mobile applications?
Oh, so this is a mobile application, but we've done several web applications too.
Okay, these are different skill sets. you need different skill sets for mobile application development, for web application development. Now you're doing both. Is that right?
Well, yeah. I mean, not so much on the web application part. And I'll also only do the front end part. I don't do the back end yet. But I'm very curious. I try to always keep myself updated and to learn both things. I'm basically, if I don't find someone that is able to do it the way I want it, like, I'll just do it myself. And I think that bold mindset is necessary if you want to just thrive in any sector.
How long have you been programming? What was your first line of code?
My first line of code was a long time ago, like probably 3 years ago. Probably this goes back to 3 years ago.
Okay, in that time that first when you started coding, you probably didn't know a lot. Then you learned a little bit more. And I know, and a lot of people will vouch for that, you never stop learning. You never stop being in a position where you don't know something. Nobody knows everything. So you're building this app. This is a real application. This is something that people are going to use. So it has to be production ready, as you say. You will definitely encounter issues, unforeseen problems. You didn't foresee things, you didn't know what to do about. Do you encounter those problems?
Yeah, all the time. I mean, while learning to code, while learning to do something new for this app, while learning to do anything, it's pretty frustrating. And you will get bugs and things won't work the first time as you thought they were. And that happens all the time. So dealing with frustration, but being a go-getter and being like in your mind, being clear that what you want, you will achieve it. And you're very persistent. Then that's the only thing that you need, because you will get a lot of frustration while doing code.
Yeah, it is frustrating. But when you do get stuck, when you have an issue, you just follow through with it. You just keep trying. Or do you seek help?
I seek help, because otherwise you are going to take forever. Like, if you try to do all by yourself and you don't ask for help, then yeah, you're going to get... you're never going to advance. Like, look, I have a business background, but still, like, I'm very interested in computer science. And right now, like, I'm applying for a computer science master for next year. And even though that, like, I know that people, like, they have more experience. Like, now I know more people that have a lot more experience, and they are very good at certain languages. So if I have a specific questions, I would just go and ask them, ask for help, or look at the Stack Overflow, or just research online too.
So you can research online, you can go to Stack Overflow, there are other forums. But did you have a mentor, somebody that you always counted on to help you out?
Well, yeah, at the beginning, I had one informal mentor. She's the top researcher at the Future App Humanity Institute in Oxford. Her name is Cecilia. She's amazing. And she was like a mentor. And through all my life, I had like several mentors. Like, and these couple of years before, I have friends that they are programmers and they're top coders, and they've been really helpful too. Also, my co-founder, he's a he has a computer science major degree. So that's also very helpful. Because every time that I had like a question or something and I cannot find the answer and I don't know how to fix it, then just trying things. Of course, you have to try it like before. You're not going to ask everyone for help like every single 5 minutes. But when it's a big thing that you don't know how to build it, then just doing that too. And also teaching. I think teaching helped me a lot with my learning curve, because I was teaching girls to code and these girls needed to do a mobile app, and I had never built a mobile app before, and I was learning while I was teaching them. They had all these questions, and I was like, oh my God, yeah, I don't know how to do that. They don't know how to do that, but I need to figure out how to do this so they can do it themselves. So this year, earlier in January, February, and March, I started learning mobile development because of the courses that I had for these girls that I was teaching them how to build an app to present for Technovation. And while I was learning myself, I had to teach. So it was very, very an accelerated process. But yeah, I think that's why I work best. And I think that's why you're pretty much like, oh my God, I don't know how this girl do it. But I think it's possible. I think teaching will help you a lot to sharing your little knowledge that you have, finding someone that is behind you, like a step or two steps behind, and teaching them what you know. It will accelerate you because you will encounter so many other things that you haven't seen it like in that way, or and you will have to be better and keep on learning because you already committed yourself to teaching someone else.
Right, that's exactly right. What happens when we teach, or more than just teach, when we write about or describe a problem and its solution, right? Even if you're talking to a wall or to a rubber duck, you have to then form your sentences. You have to form ideas and your thoughts clearly. And even if it's somewhere in the background, you kind of know the answer, but you're not really sure because you haven't really thought about it in that coherent way, it's not going to solidify in your mind. And that's something that we know, right? Repeating things and explaining things always makes things easier for you to retain yourself. And we keep forgetting things, right? How to do something. And if you explain it, if you write it in a blog post, or if you give a talk, sometimes you have the chance to actually teach, like Angie. But even if you can't, you can still talk about it, you can still explain it, and you will be surprised how much more you can retain. I think this is a universal truth. We probably all agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that too. Like doing this thing that you're doing, podcasting, blogs, everything, when you explain yourself better, when you have to explain yourself to someone else, then you will explain yourself better eventually. Yeah.
So I'm really curious about your educational background. It's very interesting. Tell us a little bit about your education.
So I studied business like a long time ago. Well, not that long ago. But after that, I did some consulting. So I think that's why my problem solving skills were already being used. And I love problem solving. So with a consulting background, you get to, go to all these industries, solve all these problems and work for other companies. But being a founder is completely different. And being able to write code is different, too, because with this is that you have to be very clear on the set of instructions that you're giving. And it's a different way of problem solving, but I think you're using the same kind of skills that you need for that. So I would invite if anyone that doesn't have a technical background is listening, like, that do not be scared. If you like problem solving, then you're probably gonna like code. But coding is not for everyone. Like, for some people, it's easier than for others. And what I see with the girls that we teach is that not everyone is interested in coding. And there are so many other science. There's so many other paths. So it just, you should try it. So my motto is that you should try it, see if you like it. But if you do, then go for it. But if you don't, then surround yourself with other people that love it.
Do you think there is an age limit or an age barrier for becoming a programmer?
I don't think there is an age limit for that. I think that, for example, for learning a new language, if you're already good like in Ruby and you want to learn Python, then there is no absolutely barrier on doing that. If you're completely new and you want to start a startup or something, sometimes it's much better for you to find someone that is already good at that and then you learn from them than just you learning by yourself everything. So that's what I did. Like my co-founder, he was technical. I had to learn to be technical anyway because we couldn't find anyone that had the knowledge of certain things that we needed, but he already knew a language that we were not using for that project, but it was useful. So okay, going back to your question, if there's an age limit, a very interesting story is that my grandma, she started her second career, which is she's known for. She's an artist and a painter, and she started that when she turned 50. So she's been my inspiration ever since, because I know that she started her second career. She was a doctor before, like a nurse and like doctor. But she found her passion in being an artist. So she decided when she was 50, like half her age limit, like to live. And she decided to just learn a new thing. She never painted with like proper painting and stuff. And she did it. So, and she's well known because of that. And that was like my role model that I always had. So when I was 25 and I wanted to learn to code, I was like 23, 24. And I want to learn to code. I was scared. And I, like now I look back and I think that I wasn't that scared anymore, but probably back when I was doing it, I was like very scared of learning a new thing, starting over, getting very frustrated because I didn't know how to resolve the bugs. I didn't know how to just install the editors and stuff. Like I didn't know anything. I didn't have a technical background, but I always went back to her lessons. And if she started when she was 50, I could start again when I was 25. So there, like if you're just good at problem solving, then I'm teaching girls age 10 to build apps. So
this is awesome. I think that, first of all, it's an inspirational story because there is no age limit. Ultimately, there is no age limit. If you feel that you have something to contribute and you're 50 or 60 or you're 6 and you really want to do something, nothing should stop you. That's in principle. But in reality, to see somebody do it, that's great. But it really got me interested when you started talking about 10-year-old girls learning to code in a coding boot camp. Is that what it is? Or is that just another program?
That's part of the Technovation program that I'm ambassador for. So with Technovation girls, they have an online resources and they can learn to program in App Inventor, then in Swift, then in Java. So we teach girls age since 9 years old, something like that. So they can develop their app and they can present it to the competition. So that's all over the world. Like Technovation has a representative all over the world in more than 70 countries. Watching all the girls develop and all the things that they come across while they are learning is funny because it doesn't actually depend on age. So when I was learning code, when I've seen other people learning code that are adults, they come across as the same, with the same issues that a kid would do. But I do recognize that it's easier for them to learn while they're younger. Just because, like, for example, Elon Musk, everyone that you think that is a, like, Mark Zuckerberg, I think they started when they were 6 or 7. And Elon Musk, let me look this up, but I think he sold something when he was 10, even younger. So what the difference that it does, like, learning this while you're young, is that when you are already my age, or whenever you're like 21, you have all these hours of hard work experience and experience that you put already. So I think that the thing that makes a good programmer or a good anything basically is just the amount of work and practice that you put into something.
And that is exactly the right lesson to learn. You need to practice. You need to practice. You need to practice. You need to learn the skills and the tools and the concepts and code snippets, and then you need to practice. So this is very important. I really want to talk to all the boys and girls out there. If you are a teenager, if you are a preteen, if you're somebody who has kids, encourage the young people around you to learn to code if that's what they're interested in. Certainly, that's what I plan to do with my kids when they get a little bit older. And it was such an awesome experience talking to Angie. She has to go, so we have to cut it short. But we have to have you back, Angie, and we need to finish the rest of this interview. But I just have to say that I'm really happy that you're out there. People like you are inspiring the audience that we have at Mentoring Developers. And all of us can say, well, good luck to you. And hopefully you will succeed, because when you succeed, you inspire others to succeed.
Yeah, thank you. It was great being here. And just for the record, Elon Musk was 12 when he wrote.
Yeah, he was 12 years old. What did he do at 12?
I don't know. Probably it was not coding at all.
Yeah.
I was not coding at all. Like, I didn't even have a computer. So,
right.
Well,
you don't need to have a computer in order to do something.
Yeah, exactly.
These days, you don't really need it. If you have a phone, you have a chance of doing something there. You might have access in the library. You can get access to a computer if you want to do programming, but you don't have to do programming. Anything in technology, just get started somewhere. I think eventually all roads lead to software, as we know.
Yes, yes. And I actually, mentioning phones, I met, like, 2 months ago, a guy who is building an app so you can program from your phone. It's called the Programming Hub. They were part of the Google developers or part of the Google Launchpad team or something. So yeah, you can check out the Programming Hub. Is an app that lets you program and edit things inside your phone. So if you only have a phone and you want to learn to program, you can check out the Programming Hub too.
Yep, you can certainly do that. Mm-hmm. And you can email me at us@mentoringdevelopers.com. You can tweet at me at @mentoringdevs. Because I want to learn from you. I want to learn from what your struggles are, what you're struggling with. If you have a question for Angie, if you have a comment, send it to me. I can pass it on, or you can contact Angie directly. Angie, how would people get in touch with you?
People can get in touch with me at contact@angiecarrillo.com, which is my personal account, or at Carrillo Reluz, which is like my Twitter handle and every social media that I have. So yeah, make sure to check out all the resources that I talk. And yeah, if you have any questions, you can directly go with Arslan or with me. Yeah.
That was awesome, Angie. So we have to wrap up here, but we'll have Angie back at a later episode. So for now... Goodbye.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed the show. You can read the highlights and show notes with links on mentoringdevelopers.com/episode and the number of the episode. For example, mentoringdevelopers.com/episode 10 or /episode 25 and so on. Let me know what you think about this episode. If you'd like to ask a question or if you have a comment, you can email me at us@mentoringdevelopers.com. Oh, and one more thing. I really want you to be part of the show, even if you are a little shy. So go ahead and type mentoringdevelopers.com/join in your web browser. This will open a Google form where you can tell me what topics interest you and what dates and times you're available for about an hour or so. Everyone is welcome, and I would be thrilled to get a chance to talk to you. I'm really looking forward to hearing from you at mentoringdevelopers.com/join.
For show notes and transcripts, visit us at mentoringdevelopers.com.